Well, that would be kind of, I think, kind of hard to be considering the mindset of another.
No, he isn't.
He isn't. Well, he. There was no transmission. And also, times came down into Judah, plus it did. So that if something that really times, you would get into captivity in the back of Jerusalem,
I didn't want to miss that. Yeah, I realize that. But, you know.
Am I in the right place here?
I think you are.
Each of your brothers
would
have one father.
What class
would you teach? This is a psalm class. That belongs over in the other place.
What class is this now? This psalm?
Oh, yeah, I'm in this one. I was thinking I was over here.
Three sets of brothers. Mm-hmm. Two of the apostles have the same father.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Do you see what I mean?
Hi, Russ.
Hello, Doc.
Yeah, this is a friend of mine. This is a friend of mine.
Three sets of brothers.
I got one on order, but it hasn't come in yet.
Tom, Donald. How am I getting another one of these for that broken one over in this other place over here? It's a really hard thing to do. It slops down. You know, in another place, or did you put one in here?
I don't know. I'll have a check.
It's in one of my rooms, and I don't remember now which one it is, but one of them that's broken, and it always slops through. It's been that way a long time.
When you do it, just take it and put the cord right into the heel.
I do. I mean, even so.
Yeah, I'll try to get it fixed. Okay.
They're not so terribly expensive, are they?
I don't know. We'll see. It's
been there a long time, I think. Just might share this with you. As I was over to Tom's the other day to see him, they were just showing me a magazine, health magazine called Let's Live. Any of you see it? Do you know it? In there was a little article. This is for November 71 issue. They just showed me a spot there where it said, for those of you who hunt bear in California with bow and arrow during the next season designated for that purpose, that is up till January the 2nd, health authorities warn that trichinosis is a very definite danger. So it's not one of those creatures that was created to be received with thanksgiving. They're still unclean in spite of the vision that Peter had on the housetop. All right, in the Psalms, I believe about the 36th verse, was it, of 78? Is that where we were? Well, God's casting off his people there because they're not. Their days he did consume in vanity, their years in trouble, and when he slew them, they sought him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. You see, now that's prophetic. Prophetic. And those who did return, he did do just that. They remembered that God was their rock, the high God, their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth. They lied unto him with their tongues. They told him they loved him. They glorified him. They said, let the Lord be glorified, but he'll appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed, because the brethren whom they cast out for his name's sake, they wouldn't have any fellowship with. And although they said they loved God, their actions proved that they didn't, because he that loves God loves also him that is begotten of God. So you just can't hate your brother in Christ, even if he doesn't see everything like you do and hasn't had the same teaching that you have. You have to love him because he is Christ. Love him because he belongs to the Lord. And help him. And learn also of him. Let him help you. Their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. You see, there's that all tasketh again, as you find in chapter 58 and 59. Destroyed them not because of his compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh. Psalm 103:14 and 16. He, being full of compassion, forgave them. With that one, you might take Numbers 14, 18, and 20. They were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Matthew 18, 21, 22. And Matthew 23:37. How often in the past, way back in the wilderness, even when they before they got into the land, and then after they got into the land, then after that he had brought them back into the land, and now Jesus is standing there looking out over Jerusalem and weeping over the city, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together as a hen gathers her chickens under her wing, but you would not. Jesus speaking. However, the words are not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, God speaking through the Son of God, God speaking through that temple of flesh. You see, God manifest in flesh. How often I would have gathered you. Jesus, as a man, as a son, as the anointed, was not back there. He was back there only as God, as Yahweh, before he was manifest in flesh. How often I would have gathered you, but you would not. But Jesus wept over them and spoke out of his own self, because he was both Lord and Christ. How often I would have. Before Abraham was, I am. Not as the Son, as the Father, as God. Not as the seed of the woman, not as a man. Was he before Abraham? No. But as God, he was before Abraham. Because this is God that's visiting his people there now. And through the Lord Jesus, weeping, how often I would have gathered you. How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back. Numbers 14:22 and Deuteronomy 6:16. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel, as they also, Paul tells you in Hebrews 3 and 4. Chapter 3 and 4, both, several, two or three places. They remembered not his hand, how that God had led them by his hand, how that he held them by his hand, how he had borne them on his wings, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy, how he had wrought his signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan in Egypt, and had turned their rivers into blood, their floods that they could not drink. And they're going to do it again up in the end time. He sent divers sorts of flies among them, which devoured them, and frogs, which destroyed them. Going to turn loose locusts out of the pit upon them one of these days, those who have heard the gospel even. He gave also their increase unto the caterpillar, and their labor unto the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail, and their sycamore trees with frost. Gave up their cattle also to the hail and the flocks, to hot thunderbolts. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, wrath and indignation and trouble, by sending evil, destroying angels among them. Did I read this to you yesterday? He made a way to his anger. He spared not their soul from death, but gave their life over to the pestilence. He utterly cut some of them off because of it. Smote all the firstborn in Egypt, the chief of their strength. Read Genesis 49:3, where Jacob blesses his sons, and hear him talking when he begins to bless his sons, Reuben, his son Reuben. And then also with that you find out that his strength, also he speaks of his people, Israel. They became his strength. Ephraim is the strength of his head. He smote all the firstborn, the chief of their strength in the tabernacles of Ham, the Egyptian strength, but made his own people to go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely, so that they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. And he brought them to the border of his sanctuary, that place where God placed them and separated them from the rest of the world. A holy people unto himself. And they call it the Holy Land, because there God brought his people, there God dwelt in the midst of his people, manifested himself to his people, called his people to separate themselves from the world. But they had not separated themselves as they ought. And so when they come back into the land, they begin to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the city and the walls which were broken down. Ezra prayed unto him that, O God, give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem, in all Judah. In all Judah, in all the land. Now you see, this is, he says Judah, because it was Judah that went out. It's Judah that he's bringing back. for the most part, Judah. And they set for a wall in Judah. And that wall in Judah was not a material wall. That wall is that wall that God puts around about his people. I will be a wall of fire around about my people, see, that separates them from the rest of the world. Brought them under the border of his sanctuary, into the Holy Land, in the land that he had promised Abraham, even to this mountain which his right hand had purchased. God had driven out by his own power and strength. I will drive them out before you. God said, I will drive them out, he told Joshua and all the people. I will drive them out, he told Moses. I will drive them out. And he purchased it with his own right hand. He cast out the heathen also before them, divided their inheritance by line, divided the land among them, giving to every one of them as God saw fit to place them. So will he when he comes again. The tribes of Israel to dwell in their tents, in their houses, their dwelling places. Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not his testimonies. After all this, but turned back, dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bowl. There are deceitful bows, there are deceitful arrows. The bow has a certain twist in it. You shoot, and that twist in the bow will just cause that arrow to go one way or another. It'll miss the mark. Miss the mark. That's what you call a deceitful bow. Yeah, you want a good straight grain bow and properly prepared, well, then it will shoot straight, and a straight arrow. But if you have a crooked arrow or a deceitful bow with a twist in it, you pull it and that strain on it twists it, but when you turn loose of it, it goes back just like so. And you have to throw the thing away. It just won't work. I know, because I used to make my own. And I wasn't an Indian either. For they provoked him to anger with their high places, as the heathen, worshipping other gods, moved him to jealousy with their graven images, which he told them, you shall not make. Very first commandment. When God heard this, he was wroth, very angry, and greatly abhorred Israel. Greatly abhorred Israel. So that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, in the Hebrew. You see, under Eli, the priest, Samuel, the prophet, Israel was doing valiantly, but they corrupted themselves until God had to cut off the house of Eli, cut it off entirely, give it to Zodak, and allowed the ark to be taken by the Philistines right there, carried away at the time that Samuel was ministering in Shiloh, where the people gathered unto the Lord in Shiloh, and the ark of the Lord was there among them. He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men. Genesis 49:10 is a cross reference. John 11:52. I'm not sure whether that belongs to that or this other one. Yes, that's all right, I think. He cast off Israel and delivered his strength. You see how he calls his strength his people? Now, I gave you verses of scripture the other day in Psalm 68, 34, 35, 103, verse 17 to 22. All those places there, you find out when you talk here of his strength, his ministers, angels, strength, cherubim, living creatures, all the same thing. It's his people. Psalm 108:8 also. Watch that, because it'll help you. He delivered his strength, which he said was Israel. He abhorred Israel and delivered his strength into captivity. and his glory into the enemy's hand. I've told you that his people are his glory, and here he says so. So put that down with your others there. And in Ezekiel 1:28, where he talks about this is was the glory of the Lord, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about the living creatures. Living creature. That's God's glory. That's what they saw, and they saw him coming out of the clouds, out of heaven, with 10,000 of his saints. That was coming in the with all his in the glory of the Father, with all his holy angels, and with all his holy ministers, with all his holy anointed people. Ephesians 1:12 with that same one. He gave his people over also unto the sword, and was wroth with his inheritance. Both Israel and Judah. The fire consumed their young men. Their maidens were not given to marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouteth by reason of wine. One of these days, God is going to tread out the wine press by the wrath of Almighty God. He'll trample them in his fury as a drunken wild man in his wrath. You see, you take a drunk that's mad at everybody in the whole world, he's a dangerous person. But this is God in his righteous wrath, treading out the blood of the grapes, staining all his raiment, in the first place by giving himself for his people, and then eventually by destroying their enemies, utterly destroying their enemies. Then the Lord awaked as one out of sleep, and like a mighty man that shouted by reasons of wine. He smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He had them fleeing. He had them running. And he overtook them and slew them as they fled. They tried to flee. They tried to get away. They couldn't get away. That tells you they can't get away. That tells you they can't get away from him. He slays them in their hinder parts. He just overtakes them and beats them down like a fleeing defeated our enemy. Smote his enemies in the hinder parts. He isn't just saying he kicked them in the seat of the pants. God said to Israel, I'll go before you, and I'll also be your rearward. I'll bring up the rear too. I'll be a wall of fire round about you, and I will beat down your enemies before your faces. Revelation 2:27 and 11:17, 19:15 is the finality. But he'd been doing that for them. He did it many times. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph. Now we're getting ourselves into trouble here. And I hate to read it, but I think that it's about to be fulfilled now. I told you the other day when we read over in Ezekiel about Ephraim turning back when they were armed. I rather think that we're going to be seeing that, starting to happen right now. The United States, as Ephraim, as the chief of his strength, Ephraim is the strength of his head. Here in the earth, they are his people. You are my battle axe, says the Lord. I will push your enemies to the ends of the earth, see. And I will be strong in my arrows shall be strong in the heart of your enemies. And here we have the power and the authority to do God's will, but they're not doing it. They're turning back in the battle. They have every God has made it possible for them to take care of the circumstances we're in, but they're not doing it. They're turning back. They're turning back against a little old army of the enemy, although he's got great claims out among the others that are about to help them. Nevertheless, we have allowed this thing to just bog us down till we're just backing out. Backing out. I believe we're seeing Ephraim now turning back in the battle. I believe that's so, and because of that, God is going to because we are not holding up for the things of God, because we have not done what God had meant for us to, He has used us. We've done wonderful in some respect. That is, His people have. But His people are such a minority. And He has given us a nation and has blessed the whole nation, and the whole nation has claimed to be God's nation. In God we trust. Our laws are based upon this word. We elect our presidents and our governors, and they put their hands upon this book. And they swear by the Lord. But they are not doing God's will. And because of that, I believe that this verse of Scripture here is about to be fulfilled right here and now. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph and chose not the tribe of Ephraim. Now, you see, Joseph includes both Ephraim and Manasseh. So he's going to refuse the house of Joseph, both of them, but specifically Ephraim also, as separate from the other, regardless of the other. Both of them, even the strength of his head, even the chief of the nations, even those who have done the very best by him, he's telling you that he will not accept. This is not his kingdom. This is not his people. The British Israelites are going to tell you that Jesus is going to come and he's going to sit on the throne in England, and then it's going to be transferred over into Jerusalem and so on. And we get the Mormons tell you that he's going to come over here in Utah and sit right down in Salt Lake City. And but he's not. He just isn't. God's got a place where he's going to reign over his people in their own land there, but he'll give them power over all the rest of them. And so though we are his people, we cannot boast of ourselves and in ourselves and then begin to count the numbers in Israel to see if we can do it. We should rather get on our face before God and realize that God can save whether by few or by many. And we're not doing it. Our leaders are not doing it. How could he do anything but refuse the tabernacle of Joseph? After all that he has done for them, made them the greatest nations in the world, and has put his word among them, and have made them the keepers of his word, even as the British crown, whenever they crown a king, he's always called the defender of the faith. The defender of the faith. And that's the reason that Queen Elizabeth, when she did once make an audience with the Pope, she would not bow down to the Pope or even a little bit. She held her head up straight as one of the people of Israel, defenders of the faith. Because when they're crowned in Israel, whether man or woman, they become the defender of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the God of Israel, the sons of Isaac, the Saxons, the Isaacsons, and all the others who have found refuge in a place where God planted them and made of them great nations like he told them that he would when he spoke to David. In another place, not in the land of Palestine. I'll plant you. They were already in the land. He didn't have to plant them. They were already there. What did he do? Very shortly, cast them out. But he planted them. He planted them. Now he's gathering them. And he's going to gather Judah. And he's going to put them right back in the land. He's going to rule over them. Reign over them. And we'll reign with him over them also. If we are overcomers. And make the out translation. Listen to this verse. Moreover, he refused the tabernacle of Joseph, chose not the tribe of Ephraim, but he chose the tribe of Judah, the Mount Zion, which he loved. Hosea 6:11. He tells Judah there when he cast off Israel, but he said, I have a harvest for you, O Judah, when the time comes. He'll bring them back. But he also bring Israel back. He that scattered Israel will also gather him. It tells us there also in the third chapter of Hosea, concerning Israel. And he built the Mount Zion, which he loved. Psalm 87:2. And he built his sanctuary like high palaces. God's sanctuary is going to be, it's a wonderful kingdom. That's the kingdom of God. That's God's kingdom. That's His people. Like the earth, which He has established forever, because this is going to be forever. 2 Peter 1:11. He chose David also, His servant. As we also found, as a type of Christ, Jeremiah 23:5-9 and verse 20, and Revelation 3:7, and the verse just before that, 69, with Revelation 21:3. Now, He chose David also, His servant, took him from the sheepfolds. Now, you see, David, he's already done that. He's already done that. Time the Psalms were written, he's already done that as a type. From following the ewes, great with young. You see, that fits in with the other prophecy where God said, I will gently lead those that are with young. I will bring back those that are lame and crippled and so on, and gently lead those that are with young and so on. That's the Lord Jesus. That's the Lord Jesus. That wasn't David, you see. But David, as a shepherd, was doing those things in type with a little flock of sheep of his father's. Just a small flock. Small flock. You notice all the other brothers were out with the big flocks. He was near at home, right close to home, with the little flock. Type of also of the Lord Jesus, you see, as the Christ and the little flock which God loves. From following the ewes, great with young, He brought them to feed Jacob, His people. He brought him to feed Jacob, His people. Now, David didn't feed Jacob, His people. It's Christ who fed Jacob, His people, through the gospel and through His ministry on earth. And Israel, His inheritance. Ezekiel 37:24, with Numbers 18:20, Psalm 16:5-6. So He fed them according to the integrity of His heart. And in 1 Kings 9:4, you'll hear God testifying of David, that David did minister the kingdom with the integrity of his heart. But it's the Lord Jesus actually who fulfills that. He fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. And Jesus committed part of that feeding to his apostles and to Peter especially. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Psalm as a shepherd, you see, David. Psalm 79, the Lord as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. Psalm 79, another psalm of Asaph. O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. The heathen are come into thine inheritance. That is after that Jesus came. He opened the door to the Gentiles, and they have come in to his inheritance. But that's not this one. This is talking about the heathen have come into his inheritance, and into his holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. Later on, he brings the heathen into his inheritance. But here, they're destroying. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints, unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there was none to bury them. Just like he prophesied at the carrying away of both Israel and Judah, and especially at Jerusalem, when he carried away Judah, 600. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. How is this about a psalm? way back there long before it happened. How long, Lord, wilt thou be angry? Forever? Shall thy jealousy burn like fire? Pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. Now, God has not done that yet. He has not done that yet. Only to those who were operating immediately at the time against his people. He did in part, but not altogether. Sometimes he allowed them to be taken of their enemy, allowed their enemies to overtake them. But now, this prophecy comes forth, pour out thy wrath upon the heathen that have not known thee, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon thy name. For they have devoured Jacob, laid waste his dwelling place. O, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercies speedily go before us. Prevent us. Go before us. The meaning of that word. For we are brought very low. That is, stand in front of us to hinder us. Prevent us. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, for your name's sake, for your name's sake, and deliver us, and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. His name is at stake. His great name is at stake. All that he said that he would do, the very thing he created the world and the works and the people for his glory. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants which is shed. They needed these prayers to help them because they're from here on down, they're really in trouble for the next 300 or 400 years. And even more, next 800 years. 1000 years. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve thou those that are appointed to die. And render unto our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O God. Those that are round about us, the people round about. So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. Psalm 74:1, 95:7, 103. We, the people and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations. Ezekiel 37:24. Let's look at it. Ezekiel 37:24, that's right where we are operating. All the time we find these things running right together, right together, right together, right together. God has made them that way, put them that way, placed them that way, and even directs our heart and minds. Ezekiel 37:24. David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. When? When he comes. When he's in their midst again. When he has gathered them. We're still going to be doing his will and his works. You see, far from the works being gone, we're just now beginning to really do them. We never have met those conditions even yet. Not even the church. But the time comes when he gathers his people and there's one shepherd and one fold over. Listen now, he didn't say they should, or you ought to, or you must, or you do. But he says, they shall walk in my judgments, and they shall observe my statutes, they shall do them. Now that's positive. That can't fail. We will keep his works, do his will, all his commandments. And we'll rejoice in it. It'll be wonderful. Wonderful, just to be in God's will and know we're doing his will and the blessings of God upon us. Nothing to hinder us. Hebrews 10:16, with that verse in Ezekiel 43:11. All right, then back to Psalm 80. To the chief musician concerning Shoshanim Edith, the lilies of witness or testimony. Shoshanim Edith. This song is for and about and to and of great concern to the lilies of witness and testimony. Those are the lilies that we find in the Song of Solomon, and also in particular the Bride of Christ, who is the chief among the lilies. The lily of the valley, which becomes his bride. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, united as one. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Now God is their shepherd. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. That's only because he was God. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. He didn't say Esau or Edom. He didn't even say Gad or Naphtali. Joseph. Why Joseph first? How come? How comes he's putting Joseph out there so much? Because Jacob loved Joseph more than all his brethren. And he becomes a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a beautiful way back there. You can't miss it. Now, this man Christ Jesus was the most beloved of all the sons. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we, as members of his body and sons of God in Christ Jesus, have that same blessing of God and the same consideration as we grow into his wonderful likeness through the grace of God. We become like him. God loves his people. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, that is he, that's God. But it's Jesus, the great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And the Lord is that Spirit. And Christ is the Lord. A Savior, Christ the Lord. Before Ephraim and Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord, and Manasseh, his two firstborn now, in place of Reuben and Levi, instead of Reuben and Simeon, and even before Levi and Judah. But those two sons of Joseph, because they're his people. They typify his people who have acknowledged Christ and have come into Christ, have become his people, whom he has planted to become a great nation. And they become his servant. Now, this is Israel, my servant, that I've made you a light to the Gentiles. Now, his own people was a poor light. They failed. They failed God. But God's people who have come into Christ have not failed God. They have been a light to the Gentiles all over the world. Our government, our laws, our book, our teaching, our religion, our worship of the true, one true God has been a light to all nations of the world as they would let us be. And we even had to push ourselves into their nations. I will push the people to the ends of the earth so that you can get into those nations and preach this gospel, that they might know me. And God has done it, kept his commandment just exactly the way he said. So we have Joseph, Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh. Come and save us. 81:5 also. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out to the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. There again, he ordained this prophecy unto Joseph for a testimony. And so that's what every testimony that you give, wherever you give it, you're fulfilling this commandment here with God ordained that this great shepherd of Israel that leadeth Joseph like a flock and dwelled between the cherubim should shine forth, and he has shined forth, and the glory of God is shown forth in the face of Jesus Christ, and we have seen it. Come and save us, and turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We are the saved people of God. 1 Chronicles 13:6, fulfillment of that prayer also, and blessing, prophecy. Now, with that group of scripture there, I'll give you a group here that will do you good if you'll read them with it. Psalm 77:15. There's quite a few of them, so take space to put them down. Psalm 77:15. Psalm 60:7. Look back at Genesis 48:19-21. And then Deuteronomy 33:12. Jeremiah 6:1. 1 Chronicles 9:3. Psalm 108:8-13, or 8 and 13 anyway. Numbers 6:25. Obadiah 18:19. 2 Chronicles 30:1 and 31:1. And Amos 5:15. Well, that'll be enough. They all fit in there so marvelous. They bring a lot of things together. Bring a lot of things together right there. It's a marvelous bit of scripture right there. It tells you what God's going to eventually do. Turn us aside. Let us see. Thou feedest them. Oh, let me get back to the fourth verse. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? You see, in spite of this that he just prophesied, yet there is a prophecy, and it hadn't come to pass. His anger hadn't come to pass against him yet either. It'll be several hundred years before his real anger is manifest. But here's the psalm. Here they're singing about it. Here they're prophesying on the harp about it. Here they're telling the lilies, the witnesses of testimony about it, because they're the ones that are going to be so greatly concerned when they see all these things coming to pass. And they're the ones that are going to be concerned when they see it beginning to happen back there when he did cast them off. And they're the ones that you see in the temple with him that go out and leave the temple, and the two cherubim away from the mercy seat, the living creatures go out and stand on the east, at the east gate. That is the same people who down by the river of Kibar also are still serving God, still serving God, still witnessing, still bearing witness, still remembering his word, still looking forward and praying earnestly, praying constantly, hung their harps on the willows because of the terrible circumstance, but they prayed, they humbled themselves before God and called on his name and looked for the time when they'd be brought back. Lilies. Those that are faithful, those that go straight forward, those that are go wherever the Spirit leads them. God has always had that people, and those are the ones that he brought back. He saved those people and caused them to teach their children these same things, so that when the edict came from Cyrus, that as many whom the Lord God stirreth up, they didn't all come back. A great multitude did not come back, but everyone whom the Spirit of God stirred up his heart, he went back. He went back and went back in. You see, that is a type again of our gathering back to him. Everyone whose spirit stirs up his heart. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, givest them tears to drink in great measure. Threefold measure, the Hebrew says. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors and our the people round about us, the nations round about, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Now, this had not happened yet, but it did happen when they cast them off. At the time they cast them off, it did happen. The neighbor did laugh. They did say, aha, they're given into our hand. Aha, they're just like the rest of the heathen. Aha, their God could not save them. See, they did that. We read it in Jeremiah and in Isaiah and in Ezekiel and other places. They really did it. But this is written 100 years beforehand. Our neighbors and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Now, he's already done that. They're talking about, they have a knowledge of what they're talking about now. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. The boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. So when he takes the little sprig out of the topmost bough of the high cedar and plants it someplace else, you know what he's talking about. She sent out her boughs into the sea, that is, among all people, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by do pluck her? Oh, you mean then he is going to do that also? Yes, he's going to do that also. He's going to do the other first, and has already done that, but now he's going to do this also. Although they're singing unto him now, they're worshiping him now in the beauty of holiness in the temple. They're not perfect, but then there is wonderful congregation there, and the power of God comes down upon them. The glory of the Lord fills the temple. At times they'd have wonderful meetings. I'd like to have been in a few of them. When the glory of the Lord came down, even the priest couldn't stand the minister. I'd like to see that again. Well, we're having it. We do have it. I mean, we've seen it. We've seen it. Wherever God's working, even priests in the Catholic Church, when that same glory of the Lord fills them, they can't stand the minister either like they used to. Right. It just breaks down in their tradition, you know, like glass. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. Isaiah 49:5. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Just your countenance toward them is not shining upon them. Your countenance is one of wrath and anger against them. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand. Guess who he is? Upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. I'll give you one guess what his name is. Yes, that's Jesus. So will not we go back from thee. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? You know, God's people, his church, has never gone back on him. He has had a people. He's always had a people that do not go back on him. He's had a people that have been going forward. He's had a people that have been growing and going in spite of the fact that they were trying to kill them. The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Let thy hand be strong upon the right man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, quicken us. Awake thou that sleepest and rise from the dead, and the Lord shall give thee life. Quicken you. Make you alive. And we will call upon thy name. And I'm glad that they finally came to where we can call on his name. Know who we're worshiping. Know who he is. Recognize him and know he's our Father and we're his children. That's what keeps us from going back. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's a lily, song for the lilies of testimony. That's still our song. That's our song. We can sing that song. We know what it's about. Sing aloud unto God our strength. You see, God is our strength, and we are His strength. You see, over here, we were His strength in the 61st verse of 78. We were His strength. Here He is our strength. I in you, and you in me. Take a psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon. They're trying to blow it up out here outside of Christ. They're trying to blast it up. But His people know how to blow it up properly. Make a loud noise, a joyful noise. For this, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Say unto Zion, behold your God. For this was a statute for Israel and a law for the God of Jacob. Leviticus 23:24, Numbers 10:10. This He ordained in Joseph for a testimony. Notice it's in Joseph for a testimony. He gave it to Israel as a statute, a law. See, it was a law when He gave it to Israel. It was a law. And a law of the God of Jacob. A statute for Israel. It was a commandment to His people before ever He gave them the law. It became a statute in Jacob, in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promises of God made through them. And then it was made a law for the God of Jacob, and He ordained it in Joseph for a testimony. That is in Christ. If in Christ it becomes a testimony, not just a law, not just a promise, not just a law, but in Christ it becomes a testimony. Aren't you glad you're living in the time of the testimony rather than the law or just the promise? Because they had a hard time even during the time of promise. They were evil entreated 430 years till the law came. And then they still were in lots of trouble and darkness until Christ came. But oh, I'm so glad for the testimony. For a testimony. One, two, three. Right down the line. First to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Then to Jacob for a law. And then to Joseph for a testimony. When he went out through the land of Egypt. Now there's where he begins to do it. Through Joseph. And Joseph becomes such a wonderful type of Christ. My, I had about two more chapters I was going to give you.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks.